We live in an era of anger, grievance, and violence. I think most of history's been like that. Certainly the first century when Jesus of Nazareth walked this earth in the flesh was like that. The Romans were conquering everyone in sight, and not all were happy about it. At one point, the Romans crucified 500 Jews a day until there was not enough wood left to build any new crosses. Observant Jews in Jesus' day generally agreed that the two great commandments were number one, to love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and number two, to love your neighbor as yourself. These two great commandments summed up everything God had to say about how human beings should live. But most took neighbor to mean the Jews who lived right around you and no one else. Those were the only people they said you should love. For everyone else, it was an eye for an eye. But Jesus changed all that. When Jesus began to teach, he began by vastly expanding the concept of neighbor with his parable of the Good Samaritan. So for Jesus, the neighbor we are to love now includes foreigners and outcasts and people not like us. And that in itself was pretty radical. Not many in the world then or now would love people like that. But that's not where it stopped. Jesus is even more radical when it comes to love, because he went on to teach that we should love our enemies. And that's our lesson for today. So let's look at it. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Now that is radical love, to love your enemies. Imagine if everyone did that. If everyone in the world did that, the world would be a very different place than it is. Imagine if that's what people thought of when they thought of followers of Jesus. Oh, those are those crazy people who love their enemies. Imagine if we had a reputation for being those kind of people. As Jesus says, we who follow him must love far beyond the normal way that sinful people love. Only then do we begin to approach a resemblance to our Father who loves the ungrateful and the wicked. And of course, when it's an abstract idea, nearly everyone is in favor of the teaching to love your enemies. A lot of people know about it and they all talk about it. After all, Jesus said, love your enemies. But it's something else entirely when we actually have an enemy who has harmed us. When it's not just theoretical, but it's like real on the ground. Ted assigned me this passage weeks ago, and I've been struggling with it. I haven't been struggling to understand it. It's actually pretty straightforward. I've been struggling to do it. First, there was a political figure recently departed who it seemed to me made himself an enemy of the Republic. Day after day, I struggled to find a way to love him. Whenever I saw him speaking on television, I usually ended up yelling at the TV. I would actually repeat these verses to myself. I would say to myself under my breath, love your enemies, love your enemies. And I'm still struggling. It's really pretty hard. And what's more, of course, like most leaders, I've had to make some decisions that were hard, that led some to treat me as an enemy. And even though I've been a Christian for many years, I still struggle with my reaction when that happens. And again, it's a struggle. It's hard work to love them, to love my enemies. So who do you struggle to love? Now, if you think about it, there must be somebody, someone who in one way or another has made themselves your enemy. It's a struggle, I think, for all of us. And so we have to consider, what concretely does Jesus mean when he says, love your enemies? Fortunately for us, Jesus actually gives us some specifics about what this love should look like. I think if Jesus had said, have a feeling of affection for your enemies, I would be in complete despair. That would be more than I could muster in my humanness. Try as I might, I don't think I could do that. But what he actually gives us are four action words, not feelings, but actions. Do these four things, and that will be loving your enemies. So what are these four things? Well, number one, we're to do good to our enemies. Do good to them. Do good things to them. Don't take revenge. Don't make them pay, but do good. Second, we are to bless them. Not curse them. Not say, God, make them drop dead, but to bless them. Pray for good things to come to them. Third, we're to pray for them. Again, pray for good. Pray for blessing. Pray for things that you would want if you were them. And fourth, we are to give that to them when they ask. And you know, that actually gives me hope. Because I can do those things. I might not like somebody very much, but I can still choose to do good to them, to bless them, to pray for them, and to give to them. I can still choose to do those things. I can do good instead of taking revenge. And that's what I did as I struggled with these verses. I didn't have to work very hard at the last one because nobody asked me for anything, but I think I could do it if they did. And the interesting thing is that as I bless and pray for my enemies, my anger and my hatred start to melt away. Why should I love my enemies? Well, first of all, because Jesus loved me when I was an enemy. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, we read, Romans 5, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Jesus loved me when I did nothing to deserve it, when I was powerless, when I wasn't even thinking of him. And having received that kind of love, how can I withhold giving it to someone else who needs love? Second, I should love my enemies because Jesus asked me to. He said there'd be a reward, but he asked me to do it. And I have found that a life of doing what Jesus asks us to do always goes better. And third, we should love our enemies because if I don't love my enemies, I'll destroy myself. And that's what happens. Dr. Martin Luther King put it this way, speaking of Jesus. He said, he knew that the old eye for eye philosophy would leave everyone blind. He did not seek to overcome evil with evil. He overcame evil with good. Although crucified by hate, he responded with aggressive love. Jesus has the most radical love for you, more than you could imagine. And because of that love, he calls you into that same radical love, because only then can you be truly free and truly healed. And it can be done. It's not impossible. It can be done. Over the centuries, many have practiced this radical love of Jesus for their enemies. One of my favorites is that back in the 1700s, there was a group of Germans from Moravia who experienced an outpouring of the Spirit. That outpouring of the Spirit led them to travel to the far reaches of the world to share Jesus with all the forgotten people. They were among the first to share Jesus with the indigenous peoples of North America and among the first to also try to bring Jesus to the Muslim world. On one of their journeys to America, some of them shared a ship with a young man named John Wesley, who became the founder of the Methodist Church. And here is what Wesley wrote about them as they were crossing the ocean in the ship. He says, at 7, I went to the Germans. I had long before observed the great seriousness of their behavior, of their humility. They had given a continual proof by performing those servile offices for the other passengers, which none of the English would undertake, for which they desired and would receive no pay, saying it was good for their proud hearts and their loving Savior had done more for them. And every day had given them occasion of showing a meekness which no injury could move. If they were pushed, struck, or thrown down, they rose again and went away, but no complaint was found in their mouth. The power of their example led to Wesley's own encounter with the Holy Spirit, which led to a worldwide movement affecting hundreds of millions of people. There is truly power in loving your enemies. This is our true legacy and our best strategy for healing a divided and violent world. It's not complicated, but it can be hard. It's radical. Love your enemies. And I pray that we might all learn the joy of living like that.